Several years ago, my cousin Rachel got lost in the wilderness. She was visiting a friend in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, and Rachel went for a hike in the morning by herself. She walked a long way into the wilderness, and at some point she paused to look around and realized that she didn't recognize any of the landmarks. Somehow, Rachel had strayed unwittingly from the trail. At an elevation of 6,000 feet in late November, it's chilly at noon. And by the time the sun begins to dip below the western lip of the mountains, it turns stark cold. Rachel had no food. She wore no heavy coat. She began to panic, and she kept walking, sometimes in circles, always farther and farther into the wilderness. By nightfall, it was clear that Rachel was missing, and search parties were dispatched. They had to zigzag their way up and down the mountains, walking difficult terrain, fording icy streams, climbing steep slopes. Searching for a single person in that vast range is like searching for a needle in a haystack. And there was no straight way to get to her because she kept moving. It was frightening for those who love Rachel, and it was frightening for Rachel herself. Rachel was not discovered until the next morning. By then, she had hypothermia, and she had to be airlifted by a helicopter to a hospital in Chattanooga. Now, this story had a happy ending. Rachel did recover, and she was okay. But many like it don't end well. Statistics show that in a recent year, 742 Americans died from exposure to cold, many of whom were lost outdoors in some variety or the other of wilderness. Now, anyone who's ever been a Cub Scout or taken hunter safety or had a conscientious grandfather take him camping has at some point learned the bedrock rules for what you do if you're lost in the wilderness. Stop. S-T-O-P. It's an acronym. And wanting to refresh my own memory, I consulted the website of online camping coach, The Hiking Dude. S. Stop. Quit moving. With each step, remember, you have a 75% chance of walking farther into the wilderness. As the hiking dude says, quote, sit down, take a drink of water, eat a handful of trail mix. T, think. Go over in your mind how you got where you are. What led you here? Where were your missteps? What poor decisions did you make along the way? What warning signs did you ignore? O, observe. Get out your map. Get out your compass. Let these trustworthy tools orient you. Determine what direction you are facing and give clear consideration to whether or not that's the direction you want to continue going. And P, plan. When you are truly lost in the wilderness, this means staying where you are, keeping up your strength, and making it as easy as possible for people to find you. Drink water and eat whatever food is at hand. Call out for help periodically so that searchers can hear you. Build a fire for warmth and to attract anyone who might be walking through the woods. In other words, do everything you can to make their paths to find you straight. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Jordan, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And this is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." Now, often when this passage is read or preached during Advent, the emphasis is upon us straightening out our lives, on us getting our act together, on us solving the dilemmas in which we find ourselves, also that when Jesus arrives, our path to Him will be straight, and we'll be ready to run out and meet Him. But friends, that is, according to the Christian way of seeing the world, a lot like continuing to walk once we've discovered that we're lost in the woods. That sort of bootstraps self-help is liable only to move us farther and farther into the wildernesses of our lives. Consider the businessman who embezzles from his company and then takes a bit more and a bit more just until such time he tells himself that he can square his personal debts. In his mind, he's struggling with a meandering and mixed up sense of virtue to get back to good, at which time he really does plan on paying his company back. And farther into the wilderness he walks. Or consider the woman who decides on one pressure-laden day to have her 6 o'clock cocktail at 3 p.m. Not long after that, when she knows how hectic the afternoon will be with kids and homework and sports, she orders an extra glass of wine at lunch. And some weeks after that, just to ease her nerves for a job interview, she decides to have one quick shot of vodka before leaving the house in the morning. But the alcohol is just to help her deal constructively and effectively with life around her. And somehow she skips the trail and ends up in a frightening place where none of the landmarks are familiar. Or consider the teenager who so desperately wants to be accepted, to feel good about himself, that in a group of friends, he throws one friend under the bus in order to get a laugh from the others. He offers the most sarcastic barbs on Facebook and Instagram, always getting dozens of likes on his posts, often at the expense of kids whose wits may not be as lightning fast as his own. He feels great about his social standing until bedtime, when the lights are out and there is no iPhone between himself and his conscience. And he shivers as the temperature seems to drop in the wilderness. In our lives, as in the literal woods, once we have strayed from the well-marked trail, our attempts to find the path again through our own efforts most often merely move us circle by circle deeper into the wilderness, where we become hopelessly lost. What then could John the Baptist possibly mean today when he says, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight"? Well, notice that John doesn't counsel us to move toward Jesus at all. He certainly doesn't suggest that we blaze a new trail. It's not paths that we are to walk that John tells us to prepare. Rather, we are to ready the paths that Jesus will walk to find us. And the only clue that John gives us about how to do that is the single word, repent. Repentance is the English rendering of the Greek word metanoia. And it means a change of mind, or we might say, a change of heart. A reorientation of the soul. And what does that look like? Well, I actually think it looks a lot like the advice of the hiking dude. It means, first of all, stop moving your life in the same direction. You'll only get more lost. Repentance means thinking honestly and clearly and resisting that compelling desire to self-deceive. Ask the open-eyed questions of your life that you would ask in the woods. How did you get so lost? What decisions led you into the wilderness? What warning signs did you ignore? Repentance means observing with the most trustworthy compass and maps that you have, your true friends and your loved ones, the wisdom of the Scripture, sages and counselors, both ancient and modern, and let them show you the wrong direction your life has been heading. Name it. And say to yourself that you no longer want to go that way. Repentance means remembering to nourish yourself with the food that gives sustenance. And I have to say, a steady diet of the bread and wine of the Eucharist is a good place to start. And most importantly, repentance means doing those things that make God's path to finding you as short and straight as possible. So long as we're moving in frenetic and panicked circles, we are difficult to find and difficult to reach. So rest. Light a warming fire in your heart by praying for God's presence and God's peace. Call out to God, sending those signal flares that you are ready to be found. And be still in your life. And quiet. You see, the one who is lost cannot find himself. This Advent, as we prepare for the Lord's return, do the things of repentance and make the path of the Lord straight. And God will hurry along that trail to draw you from the wilderness into light. Amen.